And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the Zoom line with us today is Dr. Al Baker. Pastor Al, it's good to have you back.
Thank you, Dan. It's great to be with you again.
We both love God. We love His Word. And I remember Pastor Al growing up as a young person who came to the Lord. I think it was about age 16, but I had all the Christian principles prior to that. But one of the things in high school at the time, I didn't go to a Christian school. I didn't go to homeschool or anything like that. We had stuff shoved down our throat in high school, basically saying that we evolved. The basic assumption was there's no God. You all evolved many millions and millions and millions of years. Who knows what they came up with? And bloop, bloop, bloop. Finally, out comes a human being. And frankly, that's harder to believe than the creation story for me personally. But all the kids get taught that. I don't know what they're taught today, but I think it's something similar. You wrote an article, and it's titled "The Creation Out of Nothing." I love this little article, and I'm wondering if you would share it now with our listeners.
Yes, glad to do so. First of all, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a cosmologist. My understanding of these various theories is very limited. But I think you have to make a decision from the get-go. You have to decide what you're going to start with. Are you going to start with science, or are you going to start with the scriptures? And for the cosmologist, for the evolutionist, and for the unbeliever, they've come up with various theories about how things began. And the thing is, Christianity is not contradicting true science. True science is by the scientific theory. You know, you observe.
Yeah.
And then after you observe, you deduce things from that observation. No problem with that whatsoever. And that's what Christianity was certainly goes along with that. But what these cosmologists are doing is they're trying to say what happened in the beginning, or many of them believe the universe has always been. That's called a steady state theory, and Carl Sagan was famous for that. And
I see.
Basically, Carl Sagan said the cosmos is all there was, all there is, and all there ever will be. And the steady state theory believes that some believe in a Big Bang, but others would say it's always been here, and that matter and density of matter never changes. The cosmos is constantly expanding, and when things die off, there's other things to take its place. But it's a denial of a creator. And of course, the obvious question that anyone ought to ask is, how do you know that? Were you there? Was anybody there?
Yes.
And the answer, of course, is no. So they're acting like theologians or people engaged in metaphysics or theology, coming up with their own idea, but there's no foundation for it. And Christianity admits we weren't there either. Nobody was there but God Himself.
Right.
And when we say that God created the creation out of nothing, creatio ex nihilo is the Latin term they use, it means that God has always existed, and that in due time He spoke, and all things came into being. And that's the Christian position.
It is, yeah.
And yeah, and so we weren't there either. But again, we have to make a decision. Are we going to base our view of the cosmos on conjecture from a prejudiced position, that is, these cosmologists who don't believe in God? Or are we going to say, well, we don't know what happened either, but we're going to go with the scripture. Here's what the scripture says. We're going with that.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I mean, you know, when you stop and think about the vastness of creation, it's pretty astounding. Like this, let me read you a couple of things I wrote. Astronomers say that the Milky Way has over 3 billion stars, that it is 1,000 light years deep, that it is 100,000 light years across. And I want to remind people, one light year is the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second, multiplied by every second in 1 year. That's one light year.
Yes.
And they go on to say that there are 100 billion galaxies in our universe. Now, these numbers they're just astonishing.
They are.
You can't even comprehend this. But Christianity teaches that speaks of the immensity of God. The theologians talk about the immensity of God, and that means that He fills up every inch of His creation with His attributes, with His love, justice, goodness, mercy, kindness, loving kindness. That's who He is. It tells us, therefore, that He's omnipresent, that He's everywhere at once, that He's omnipotent. He has all power. He spoke and all things came into being. And He's omniscient. He knows all things. And so for the Christian, holding on to the scriptures, this gives us an amazing confidence that nothing happens by mistake.
No.
When we have a tragedy that happens in our lives, we don't have to wring our hands and say, I wonder if God knew that was going to happen. Did that catch him off guard? Was he asleep at the wheel when that one came down?
Oh, yes.
We know that's not true. We know he's sovereign in everything. And Psalm 115 says that the Lord is in his heavens and does as he pleases. In Isaiah, it says, I am God and there is no other, the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I'm the Lord who does all these. And it's a comfort for the Christian. We have a big, big God.
Yes.
Triune God.
No question about it. And sometimes even the things that we assume, Pastor Al, even those things have been created, like light itself. We talk about, you just spoke of the speed of light, and yet that too is a creation of God. I can't even imagine at the very beginning point of time, even time is a creation,
right,
where there's absolute nothingness except the triune God of the scriptures, and he's creating it all, including light, including its speed, including time and the way we measure it. Everything is created by him. That is beyond my comprehension.
Yes, and of course, you know, one of the things that some people are realizing today is that you know, evolution is a very faulty view, but there's this idea of intelligent design, and even many scientists who are not Christians are at least coming to realize this world is exceedingly complicated. And to say that this happened by chance is outrageous.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is look at the human hand or the human eye and see the intricacy of these parts of creation.
Yes.
And it what it does is it just makes you in awe. I remember one time flying back from Africa, and I was watching a National Geographic special on animals and then also on plant life and so forth. And I'm watching this course, you know, National Geographic is, I'm pretty sure, more evolutionary than anything
sure.
else. But I'm watching this, and because I'm a Christian, I'm looking at it through the lens of Scripture.
Yeah.
I'm worshiping God watching this.
That's right.
It was astonishing to me.
You know, sometimes I live out in the country, so we see more country-type stuff. And sometimes I'm amazed, Pastor Al, how that during the winter, the little frogs and toads, they go into hiding, and they hibernate or whatever they call it, and they actually survive that.
Yeah.
It amazes me how creation springs to life every spring.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, there are different views on creation from a Christian perspective. I believe that we should simply take Genesis 1 at face value.
I agree.
Now, there are some, and I would not call them heretics, but I definitely think they're wrong. And there's many views that are accepted by evangelical churches that are not necessarily a 24-hour day creation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't agree with them, but I'll mention one, and that's called the framework hypothesis. And basically, they're saying that Genesis 1 is not meant to be a straightforward historical, chronological explanation of creation. They would say that it's more symbolic, more poetical, not to be taken literally. And so they, for example, they say the first 3 days of creation are parallel with the last 3 days of creation. And the first 3 days are talking about form. God said, let there be light, and so forth. And then the second, the last 3 days of creation, days 4, 5, and 6, are more about filling that form. But again, I think it's a stretch because, again, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I know a little bit. And so in Hebrew, there's this thing called the Vav consecutive. And what it does is it shows it's a narrative. It's a form of narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something like 50 Vav consecutives in Genesis 1 alone, which is saying this is chronological. This is straightforward. It's history. It's not poetic. It's not poetical. And so I think they're wrong. And, of course, what they're trying to do is they're saying, look, the world is obviously millions of years old. I mean, anybody looking at it can tell that. And so they're trying to help God out, in my opinion. God's in a pinch. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got to explain.
He's in a pinch, oh my.
You know,
I think I'm in a pinch.
let me help him out here. I'm like, oh, how about this theory?
Yeah.
And it's just not necessary. And I like to remind people that when Mount St. Helens erupted some 20 or 30 years ago, you go look at that now, and there's just layer after layer of sedimentary rock.
Yes.
And it all happened in the space of about 2 days.
Yes, yes.
And I think the flood, I think it was a universal flood.
I agree.
And you look at the Grand Canyon and you look at the mountains and so forth. And, you know, all of us know something of the power of water. When that hurricane hit in North Carolina a year or so ago, the water just rushed through. It destroyed everything in its path, took buses, trucks, you name it.
Yes.
Powerful. And so when you got the whole world covered with water.
I can't even imagine it. It's so devastating. Yeah. I can't even imagine it. Today we're talking with Pastor Al Baker, and he leads a life of doing evangelism. He was a pastor and still preaches God's word, and yet God has given him the gift of evangelism. In your article, you were talking about, I guess you could call it the nature of God, and there was a statement that stood out here, and it's just so true. It just really hit home. It was this, and it's surprising in some ways. You're talking about God and his attributes, and you said, he does not need us. Take that and explain that just a little bit.
Yeah, the theologians call that the aseity, A-S-E-I-T-Y. And that means that you go back to Ephesians chapter 1, the three persons of the Godhead are mentioned in the whole act of salvation. Verse 3, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
That we'd be holy and blameless before him to the praise and glory of his grace. And then it speaks about Jesus. In him we have redemption through his blood, according to the riches of his grace, to his praise and glory. And then we're sealed in the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, to the praise and the glory of his grace. So the point there is that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are actively involved in all aspects of our salvation. And the scriptures constantly talk about let the earth praise him. All the peoples praise him.
That's right.
And so he's totally sufficient. He doesn't need our performance to make himself feel better.
Right, right.
You know, we have grandchildren, and we get a kick out of seeing them do something really good, and we feel really good about ourselves. And yep. Maybe if they don't do so well, we kind of feel bad about ourselves, and you know, and feel bad for them. No, God's not that way.
No,
completely sufficient in himself.
And yet, at the same time, it's remarkable. That is absolutely true. And at the same time, he condescends to love us.
That's right. Yeah, that's
oh,
right.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and so I think that it's important that we really consider this whole matter of Genesis 1. In fact, I would go so far as to say that how we interpret Genesis 1 and then taking it all the way through Genesis 11 mm-hmm. is going to make a tremendous impact on how we live and how we die, for that matter.
Yes.
Because every major doctrine that affects our lives is found in Genesis 1 through 11. Creation. He either created things out of nothing, or you believe in the steady state theory or something else. And it's evolution. It's godless.
Yes,
then,
it is.
Then you get into chapter 3, which is the fall into sin. How do you explain evil in the world? Well, Genesis 3 gives you that answer. How do you explain the way the world looks? Well, you've got the flood to deal with that. Then how is God going to save people? Genesis 3:15 speaks about you will bruise him on the heel, but he will crush your head, yeah. Speaking about Christ who would overcome the devil. And then you've got the covenant of grace in chapter 11 and so forth. And all of these things lay out who God is. And let us not forget either that he says he created the male and female. So he lays down the marriage between a man and a woman. He lays down the family with children. He says propagate and make fill the earth, which again says homosexuality, same-sex marriage, transgenderism is false. It's not just false, it's godless, it's harmful. So it's all there. And then also, if you believe in a young earth, then you don't have any trouble believing that Adam did not evolve from some hominid. Adam was created by God. Therefore, Adam has dignity and so forth. Furthermore, if that's not true, then you've got to throw out Romans chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians 15 because it speaks about an actual Adam. So all of these things are important. It's not just a nice discussion. These are life and death issues.
Yeah.
That are put forth in Genesis 1 through 11.
Now, when Adam and Eve were created, they were created fully grown. They didn't come as little babies. They came as man and woman, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And these things are all vitally important. And so that's why, and as far as evangelism, let me give you an example that I find pretty amazing. So I travel a lot into countries that are Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim. And what I try to get our church planters to do is teach these people how to read the Bible. As they read the Bible, then God begins to work in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. And many, many people are converted in this way. Here's an amazing thing. When a Muslim or a Hindu, let's take Hindu, it's true of India, but let's think about a Hindu for a second. When we read Genesis 1 to them, it's something they've never heard.
Mm.
It's a powerful thing because they believe in 350 million gods.
Mm.
And these gods are very limited in power, according to them. You know, one does this and one does that. But there's the creator God who spoke and all things came into being. Psalm 68, I believe it is. And so that's the God we serve. And so when you get people into the Word of God like that, it has a powerful effect. I've done this too, Dan, with people who would say, "Well, now you know I'm an evolutionist and I don't believe in this creation stuff from Genesis 1." I said, "I know, I get it. But we're not going to debate evolution. Let's just read the text and see what it says." And over a period of time, very often, because it is the Word of God and because the Holy Spirit is working, very often these people are drawn to faith over a period of time.
That is so important. It shows the work of God, the Holy Spirit, using His Word, and it really is miraculous, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, His Word never returns empty. It always accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. It's an amazing thing. And so what I think that means in a lot of different ways for the Christian is we should have supreme confidence, not in ourselves, but in the Almighty God.
Mm.
He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. When we close our eyes in death, we'll be absent from the body. We'll be present with the Lord. He promises to supply all our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ. On and on and on it goes, one promise after another.
Yes.
They're all based on the truth of Scripture, and you must begin with Genesis 1. It all starts there.
It all starts there.
If anyone questions the authenticity, the veracity of Genesis 1, it's not long before they're going down a road that will lead them away from Christ.
It messes up your whole life.
Yeah, yes. We've seen it repeatedly in churches and denominations over the years.
I'm going to throw a little comment in here. I've got my Bible here, and I'm just opening these passages and reading along with you. And at the top of a couple of these pages, this is just my own doing, I've got these little words written like expectation of victory. Yeah. Genesis 12, 2 through 3. Expectation of victory, Genesis 13, 14 to 16. Expectation of victory, Genesis 15, verse 5. And I realize, wow, there is a real positive view that God wants us to have of His kingship over this whole world. And have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I have. And, in the Psalm 67, I think it is, it says that God is king over all the earth.
Right.
And you were mentioning these verses in Genesis that speak about His covenant with
right.
His people. I'll be a father of many nations. I'll make you a father of many nations. And it's the confidence we have that over time, God is saving His people.
He'll
be those every tongue, tribe, people, and nation around the throne. I was just in a Southeast Asia country a couple weeks ago, and we're starting to plant churches in this particular country. And
wonderful.
It's just an openness to the gospel. And every time we go there, there's people getting baptized, have been converted, and God is doing a mighty work.
Amen.
In the world.
Amen.
It's beautiful to be, part of it in some fashion.
Yes. Well, we got maybe 2 minutes left, and as we often do, people tune in and out. They're tuning in and out today of this program, and probably somebody, they may have gotten ticked off when we were talking about creation, but they'll be back. but there may be someone who is challenged today by the Holy Spirit as God uses His Word in his heart. And why don't you share the gospel with that person today, Pastor Al Baker?
Yeah, so there's many ways to do that. But one of the verses I like to use is 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says, God made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, he's talking about the Apostle Paul's talking about Jesus. God made Him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. In other words, the sinless Jesus came to this world. He took on human flesh. He went to the cross. He bore our sins in His body on the cross that He might bring us to God and to make us alive in the Spirit. And so He took our sins upon Himself. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So what God does, He places our sin on Christ. Christ experienced the wrath of God in our place, and in turn, He gives us Jesus' perfection, Jesus' righteousness. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned. and that's called the imputed righteousness of Jesus. He gives that to us, and it's sheer grace. None of us, we should never say, God, I want justice. No, you don't want justice. No. Justice means you get what you deserve. What you should say is, I want mercy.
Amen.
Mercy means you get what you get. You're not getting what you deserve. You're getting mercy and you're getting grace and salvation. So that's it, Dan. I mean, it's a glorious thing.
Amen. Well, our brother in the Lord, Pastor Al Baker, has joined us today. And Pastor Al, if somebody wants to follow your writings, where did they go?
Well, they can Google Forget None of His Benefits, Al Baker, and that'll pop up. And then on one of those articles, it'll have a place that they can subscribe. And I'm always happy to see that. So
good.
So again, just Google Forget None of His Benefits, Al Baker, and they'll be able to get on from there.
That's perfect. Well, thank you very much for joining us. May God bless you. May God bless your wife and keep you safe, Pastor Al.
Thank you so much, Dan. God bless you as well.
Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.
Let your kingdom come and your will be done right here on the earth like it is in heaven. Thy cross is lifted o'er us. We journey in its light. We follow as you guide us. Lead on, O God of might.